Matthew chapter 11. There are many wonderful things found in the Word of God. There are passages of Scripture that stand out and seize our attention. There are classic treaties of the Christian faith found in God's holy Word. There are things, especially, that Jesus has said that grip our souls. They are profound words. You know, many of the things that Jesus said are just, they're just profound. And one of the amazing aspects is that it crosses every culture, every zone, every class of people have found consolation and comfort in the words of Jesus Christ. Some of these passages that I'm going to read for you, and I've quoted them on numerous occasions from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 28 especially, about how that Jesus calls on people to come to Him, that He might relieve them of their burdens, that He might relieve them of their stress. But you know, many times a passage of Scripture, it loses its strength when you take it out of context. I even quoted this passage last week, and after I went home, I thought about using the passage, and there are several passages that I may quote during an invitation that's extended to lost people to seek the Lord and repent and trust in Jesus, and preachers many times memorize those and utilize them as they're making an invitation for somebody to pray. But in its context, it has great, enormous strength. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 20 of the 11th chapter of Matthew. And as I read through here, I want you to notice that there are actually three things before we get to our invitational text. There are contrasts that go on from verse 20 through verse 30. He contrasts the situations of cities, circumstances that existed in Tyre and Sidon Bethsaida and Chorazin. He contrasts what went on in Capernaum in verse 23 and what happened in Sodom. So he begins with a contrast. Then he'll contrast different people. People with pride versus people that are humble. How that people that are humble and lowly, that God reveals Himself to them. People that are full of pompous and full of pride. People that won't surrender and yield. God withholds revelation from them. And then there's the great invitation that He gives for people to come and have their burdens relieved through Christ. I begin in verse 20. Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. You know, all through the Scriptures, Jesus taught us to repent. He began His preaching with repentance. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness of Judea preaching repentance. We don't hear enough messages on repentance. We don't hear messages concerning the components of repentance, where that there's weeping and praying, how that people need to turn to the Lord. And at the end of genuine repentance, there's always a transformation in the life. Amen. We have a lot of people that have this nonchalant, easy repentance. It's associated with easy beliefism. That's not the kind of repentance that Jesus preached and Jesus taught. Jesus said the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. What did they do? Why, they wept, they mourned, they prayed, they called upon the Lord before the Lord heard them and pronounced a new kind of verdict upon their city. No longer were they going to be destroyed, but they were saved. And my friend, if you ever get saved, you're going to have to call on the Lord and you're going to have to repent like the people of Nineveh did. Jesus said, there is your definition, there is your picture of repentance. Now, I believe in that kind of repentance today. Not just a change of the mind or a change of the attitude or reformation or trying to transform your own life. My friend, your heart needs to be fixed. And that can only be done by the application of the blood of Jesus and by the Holy Ghost. He said, these cities did not repent, but they should have repented. Why? Because there were mighty works done by the Son of God Himself. Amen. He says, as He begins to upbraid them. And I pray this morning, you know, as we examine these passages of Scripture, let us realize that you that are here this morning have enjoyed a wonderful privilege. You've come under the sound of the gospel. You've been in a church where the Spirit of the Lord is. You've been present where God's power exists, where His conviction resides. You've been in a place where Jesus is truly lifted up and the true kind of repentance and faith has been preached to you. My friend, that is a wonderful privilege. And He tells these cities that they were privileged cities, but they did not repent. My friend, if you've heard the gospel and you've not repent, there's going to be more judgments pronounced upon you. There's more severity in hell for those who have experienced the light of the Lord and did not come to it. Notice as I begin reading, He says, woe unto thee! Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes represents mourning and weeping over sin. Blessed are those that mourn. Know what you taught this morning? Blessed are those people that mourn over their iniquities and mourn over their sins. That's one of the Beatitudes concerning mourning. I'm glad I'm still part of a church where people are allowed to mourn and weep over their sins. Whether you're a saint or whether you're a sinner, there's going to be times and occasions in your life where you mourn over your iniquity, where you mourn over your sins. We don't mourn over our sins enough. Even those of us that have been saved, amen? I'm afraid we've developed some of the philosophies of this world where that we just simply nonchalantly, casually deal with sin as though it's nothing. I'll tell you what, sin cost, it cost the Son of God His life on the cross. Every sin that we commit, it needs to be atoned for, and there's only one atonement for it, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our iniquities. He says, woe unto you. He says, if in Tyre and Sidon, the works that Jesus had done had been done there, they would have fallen on their face before God. They would have repented of their sins. They would have been saved. I wonder this morning, have you considered the wonderful privilege and opportunity you have had? Do you take that lightly? Notice as I continue to read, He says, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable, He's talking about in hell, the citizens of Tyre and Sidon that go to hell, it's going to be more tolerable for them than it will be for the cities where great works of Jesus Christ had been done. Notice here, He said to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Then He says, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, it shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works... Listen, you're going to have to answer for the things you hear and the things you see. Every one of us have had different opportunities and privileges of life. And we answer for those privileges. We answer to the Lord at judgment for those opportunities that have been afforded to us. These privileges that are proportioned according to our lives. That's what we've experienced, to what we've heard, to what we've seen, what we've undergone. We're going to stand in judgment for them. And if you've been brought close to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, if you've been brought nigh to His kingdom, if you've been brought nigh by the Holy Spirit, if God's Spirit has drawn you and the gospel has been preached to you, you are responsible for that, and you'll stand in judgment for it if you do not repent. Amen. And it would be more tolerable for people that did not hear this truth, had not the privilege of seeking the Lord or hearing the gospel preached as you've heard it preached, or been drawn by the Holy Spirit as you've been drawn, it will be more tolerable for them at judgment than it will be for you. You'll suffer more in hell for it if you turn it away than people who never heard it. What is he telling us here? He's telling us of the shamefulness, of the severity of sinning against the gospel. You know, I preach to people much like that man that was on that rooftop that day, and he was going to change out his television antenna or satellite dish, and he was trying to hook things up, and the wind was blowing, you know, and he rolled down the roof and slipped, and as he was falling, he grabbed hold of that metal gutter, and he was hanging there, and he was on a two-story house. Here he is hanging desperately, fixing to fall by that gutter. So he cries out and he says, "Is there anyone up there who will help me?" And a voice spoke out of heaven and said, "Yes, I'll help you. Let go. Let go." You know what he did, don't you? He says, "Is there anybody else up there that will help me?" Yeah. Some of you have heard the voice of the Lord, and the Lord is saying, "Let go." But you want some other way. You want some other choice. And I'm telling you, there's only one choice, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. These cities that rejected him, though their circumstances is similar to yours, how they were rejecting Jesus Christ. And when you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to stand in judgment for it. Amen. It is a sin against the gospel, and it is the most severe sin that a person can commit. To turn away the Lord of glory, to turn away Jesus Christ, to turn away the right way of salvation, my friend, that is a severe sin. And every city and every person who does that will be accountable for it. Notice as I continue to read, he says, "Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven," you've had great opportunities, you have great privileges. You know, we have the Word of God. And when there's something that we do not understand or comprehend, if there's some question in our mind, we can go to the Word of God and find out whether or not it is true. I challenge you this morning, if there's anything that I've ever preached, any doctrine that I hold to that is not according to thus saith the Lord, you show it to me. We'll sit down, we'll discuss it, we'll talk about it, we'll look into God's Word, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give up anything that does not correspond with the Word of God. I'll give it up. I'll tell you what I am. I'm a true Baptist. You know what true Baptists do? A true Baptist seek the truth. Amen. Yes, they put truth above everything. They put it before their creed. They put it before their opinions. They put it before their doctrinal statements. There's nothing more important to us than finding the truth and believing the truth and doing the truth. And this word is true. Amen. It's truth without any mixture of error for matter. And every opinion, every idea, every doctrine must be tried by the Word of God. Amen. You hold something that doesn't correspond, something that does not harmonize with the Word of God, it is not God's doctrine. Amen. Let me give you a little footnote here. Those of us that have been in church all these many years and heard the truth, we're blessed people. Amen. And I'm afraid some of us are starting to take it for granted. Amen. Shame on you. Shame on you for taking this kind of preaching and this kind of truth for granted. For having the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church. For feeling and sensing His power, His presence, His Spirit. For being associated with something that transforms your heart and changes your children and saves them and continues to work in our hearts and our lives. If you're taking that for granted today, shame on you. If we're holding to something that is contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ, we need to give it up. Amen. You know, I heard the story about this captain of a ship, and he was It was dark. It was at night. And he saw this faint light in the distance. And immediately he told his signal man, he said, send a signal, send a message to that light out there, that ship, whatever it is, and tell them to alter their course 10 degrees. Tell them to alter their course 10 degrees to the north. Well, a signal came back, and the information was, well, you alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Captain was a little put out by that. He says, send another message. You send a message and tell them that I am a captain and for them to alter their course 10 degrees to the north. Well, the message came back to the ship. He says, well, I'm Seaman James and I'm telling you to alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Well, the captain said, send another message. You tell them that I'm a battleship. Send a message again. Tell them I'm a battleship. And for that vessel to alter its course 10 degrees to the north. Well, the message came back. And the message was, I'm a lighthouse. You better alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Man, when you start arguing with God, and we do it from time to time, amen? And sometimes we get to arguing with the truth, and we get to telling Him who we are and what we know and what we are capable of. Finally, before it ends up, God will reveal, He'll say, look, I'm God, and you better change your ways. God doesn't change. In Malachi it says, I am the Lord God, and I change not. God is not going to change for you. If there's any changing that needs to go on, it's in us. Amen. Our churches, when we're not holding on to the truth, we need to change. Amen. Our country and our city and this world, when it realizes that we are far away from God, we're the ones that need to change. I don't care what kind of legislation or laws we implement. When they go contrary to the ways of God, our laws need to change. God don't change. Truth don't change. These cities did not change. And because they did not repent, He says here, notice, he said, if the same kind of stuff would have went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, then those cities would still be here today. Y'all know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed, right? Fire and brimstone came out of heaven. They were destroyed because they were wicked, sinful cities. God destroyed them. But he said, if there was a church like this there, if this kind of preaching was done there in those cities, if the Spirit of God was in those cities like it's here, he said, they would have repented. They would still be around, but they perished. Listen, many wonderful works have been done through the church of Jesus Christ. Many wonderful things have been accomplished through the preaching of the cross, and many more things will be accomplished. But listen, my friend, you've been privileged to come under the sound of the gospel. And you need to not take that privilege lightly. You need to realize that the cross of Jesus Christ is the most important thing that you need to hear. In the past, in the present, in the future, your circumstances, your situation comes into view in judgment. And if you have turned away the truth of Jesus Christ, then God will turn away from you. Notice as I continue reading. Verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered, saying, so first of all, we have contrasting cities. Notice here, we have a contrasting of consciousness. He says, Jesus says, I thank thee, O God, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. If you want to know the truth, you're going to have to humble yourself. I was talking to a man yesterday. He had visited here some, and I saw him at Lowe's, and I stopped him, and I was talking with him, and we were talking about he was trying to find the will of God for his life and for his family, and he's kind of been like a fish flopping up on dry ground for many years now, and And we were talking about prayer and how that God answers our prayers and hears our prayers. And I said, Tony, I said, the Lord is not going to answer your prayer till you're willing to do whatever God says. The truth is revealed to those who are willing to yield to the truth. God won't make His will known to you until you're ready to surrender to His will. And I said, Tony, you won't get an answer until you're willing to do whatever God says to do. People, that's how it works. You don't pray to God and put stipulations on the prayer. You don't say, God, I'll do your will if I don't have to do this. Come on now. I tried that one time. I thought I was called to Japan. No, it was China. You know, and I felt this burden. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord's called me to China, you know. And I was all tore up. Man, I was... You talk about tearing the preacher up where he thinks he might be getting a burden to go to China. You know, and I'm thinking about the language and my family. And man, I was praying and praying and praying and praying. And God didn't speak to me. I mean, I didn't get an answer. He was silent to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you something. You get ready to do something like that, you better know it's the will of God. Huh? There are some important decisions in your life where the voice of God alone will do. And I was praying and I needed to hear from the Lord and praying and praying and praying. And I asked brethren to pray for me and other people to pray for me. And I couldn't get an answer. And I can take you to the very place within 3 feet of where I was on my knees. And I really yielded. I tell you what, I was good as there. Before the Lord said, you don't have to go to China. But I was yielded. I was on my face and I was saying, Lord, I am just laid out here, whatever. I mean, the Lord knows your heart, amen. He knows when you yield it all up and say, whatever, Lord, you say, I am yours. Speak, thy servant listens. He knows when you're at that place. And when you get at that place, you'll know the will of God for your life. And there's no greater relief to the burdens of life than to be doing and knowing the will of God. My time is slipping away from me. He says, I'm glad you don't reveal yourself to these proud, pompous people, but only those that are babes, those that are humble, those that yield, those that are meek, those that surrender, those that come to me in a humble state. I'm telling you, God giveth grace to the humble. He giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And I'll tell you why you haven't received answers from the Lord. I'll tell you why. Many times you have unanswered prayers is because of your pride. Pride goeth before the fall. Haughty spirit before destruction. You can't know the will of God or understand the will of God for your life if you're full of pride. He reveals, and the Lord was thankful for that. Even so, Father, I want us to notice something. I've got to get done with this. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. You know what Jesus was saying? Whatever your will is. Man, we know it's right if it's God's will. Amen? Are all of you ready to do that this morning? To say, thy will be done. We know that if it's your will, it's right for us. Huh? If it's your will. If it seems right in your sight, God, then we know it must be right. I'm telling you, God doesn't do anything wrong. He always does the right thing for us and does the right thing always. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, verse 27, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Have you had the Son revealed to you? Have you received a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ? I want us to notice something as I continue to read in this passage. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice here. Here's the criteria for a peaceful, wonderful, restful life. It's coming to Jesus. It's having God the Father revealed to you through the Son. You won't receive a revealed knowledge of God unless you come to Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus is saying in these passages? If you get right at the foundation of your life, all the circumstances and superficial things of your life will be fine. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven, everything else will be taken care of. Amen? All these other things will be added unto you. He's saying, if you'll put me first, if you'll come to me. He's saying, these things of the world are more troublesome and more burdensome than more heavy than my load, my yoke. Living for Jesus is a wonderful thing. It's full of joy. It's full of happiness. I know people come in among us and they say, well, you people don't look happy. I tell you when I'm happy, when I'm burdened over lost souls. I'm happy when I'm close to the Lord. Amen. Where I sense the Spirit of God. I'm happy when Jesus is among us and with us. And I'll do whatever it takes to get in that position where that the Lord will be present and His power will be great. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You know, he says that he'll give them rest. Notice, I'm going to read this passage. I'm going to try to close. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. All right, there's a taking of the yoke of Jesus Christ. In other words, many people today, they're yoked up with sin. They're yoked up with the world. They're yoked up with riches. They're yoked up with pomp and circumstance. You're yoked up with family. I'm telling you that you need the yoke of Jesus Christ. You need to exclude all these other things that might keep you from coming to Christ and give them up and come to Jesus alone and be yoked up with Him. I'm telling you, when you get yoked up with Him and learn of Him, you'll find that He's meek and lowly in heart. You'll notice in this passage where He says, and you will find rest for your soul. This restlessness and godlessness in our society can only be fixed by Jesus Christ. These circumstances of life that he's describing is ease versus hardship. I believe it's in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, verse 13, or either 13 and 15, 15, 13, one of the two. It says in that passage that the way of the wicked is hard. Going contrary to the way of God is hard. It's much easier to live the Christian life than it is to be a worldling. It's better to be saved and a member of the Lord's church. You know why? Because Jesus is always there with us. He's there with us through our struggles, through our trials. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He sticketh like a friend, closer than a brother. He's there with us when we have difficulty and problems, when we go through circumstances that are outside of our control. He controls them because we know that every good thing that happens to us and every bad thing that happens to us is according to His providence. We believe that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. All right. He goes from a declaration of revelation to an invitation. I contend that the invitation in these passages is the revelation that comes that you're saved. If you've not received a revelation that you're saved, if there's not a time or place in your life where the Lord has revealed Himself to you as your Savior, as your sins forgiven, if you've not experienced the cleansing that comes through the cleansing flow of Calvary, if you've not went up the crest of Calvary and looked on Him whom you pierced and found redemption and forgiveness of sin, you're lost and you need to be saved. You need to come to Jesus. You need to call upon Him. You need to seek Him out. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. And when you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll experience the new birth. Amen? It'll happen to you in a split second. You'll know when it happened. You might say, well, how will I know? You'll just know. God will reveal Himself. He will speak to your heart in that spiritual voice, and He'll let you know that your sins have just been canceled. When that revelation comes, that you're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you'll be standing on the rock. And when you're on the rock, amen, when you're on the rock of ages, you can withstand anything that comes in this life. Amen. It's a lot easier to live the Christian life. I feel sorry for those people that are out there in the world, don't you? Those that are pursuing ways of sin. I'm telling you, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there a lot longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you'll ever be able to pay. Sin is very costly. and people that indulge in a way of sin, a lifestyle of sin, they suffer. They suffer severely. But listen, my friend, if you'll come to the Savior, His yoke is easy. Is it hard to be a preacher? No. It's not when you stay surrendered. Is it hard to be a Christian? No. You stay surrendered and yielding to the Holy Spirit, and it's an easy walk, amen? Because you're walking upward, you're going towards heaven. I told somebody, it was Brother James. I talked to Brother James yesterday, and we were talking about some of the health problems I'd had the last few months, and I said, you know what? It just makes the light up ahead, my hope up ahead, just a little brighter. Every little pain I have or any danger that I have of suffering or death, I'm not afraid. Brother Gary, I'm not afraid either. I'm ready. I tell you, my hope is getting brighter as I get closer to heaven. Amen. Yeah, anything that I go through or anything my family experiences, I know Jesus will set it right. He'll fix it in the end. I'm wealthy because my Father owns the cattle on a thousand hill. I don't have to worry about wealth. I don't have to worry about money. You know why? Because my Father owns it all. Amen. And I am an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the glory of Jesus is going to be my glory one day. And it'll be yours if you're saved. Yeah, learn of Him. Yeah, it relieves a lot of things, doesn't it? It'll relieve stress. It'll relieve the problems in your life. It'll relieve the struggles of your life. Many of you people are chasing the mighty dollar. And I'll tell you where that mighty dollar will end you up. It'll end you up burning. Because everything on this earth is going to burn. Yeah. Burn. Peter said, having this knowledge, what manner of persons ought you to be? We know that all this stuff's going to be destroyed. Listen, if you've not been saved, let's get a song and sing. Brother Dale, I appreciate you listening to me this morning. There are a lot of cities today that have been privileged. This is a privileged city. Victory Church being in the city of Hendersonville, every citizen of this city will answer for it. Amen? I tell people all the time where I meet out there, I said, you're doing yourself and you're doing your family a great injustice to live in the city of Hendersonville and not at least go to Victory Church one time. Whether they realize or not, they will stand in judgment for it. Amen? Amen. The preaching of the truth goes on here. God's word is taught here. His Spirit abides here. Amen? Amen. The power of God is in this place. I too am thankful. These prideful, irreverent, disrespectful, pompous, egotistic people, I'm glad the Father is not revealed to them. Isn't that what Jesus said? He won't reveal that to you, His will to you, unless you humble yourself. I'll tell you, I'm glad He reveals Himself to the babes, to the humble, to those that yield, those that surrender. You know what Jesus says to the whole world though? All you gotta do is come to me and I'll take care of it. You may have been prideful in the past. You may be so full of yourself, Christ can't fit in your heart. Come to Jesus. He'll change your heart. Amen. He'll push out those sins. He'll push out self. And if you don't push self out, the Savior will never come into you. I'm glad it's that way. Aren't you glad it's that way? I wouldn't want it any other way. God's way is always right. It seems right in His sight. Amen? And if it's the way of God, then it's the right way. And we give our full appreciation and respect to God's way if it seems right in your sight. I appreciate your attention. Let us stand and sing a verse of some song. If there's someone here this morning, you've never been saved, would you come? Someone never made a calling and election sure, come. Let us stand. How is it with your soul? You've never been saved. If you would just cast your burdens upon Him, lay it on the cross, lay it down before Him at His feet, surrender and yield to Him. He will reveal those things to you. Come. While you have time and opportunity, lay Him at the feet of Jesus. Is there someone here today? There's a shifting, a transfer of the burdens and cares of this life over to Christ. He cares for you. Cast your cares upon Him, my friend. He cares for you. Let that change occur in your life. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Oh, He wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to have control of your life. He's the lighthouse. The cry goes out today. You change your course. He's the lighthouse. Would you come?